This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, welcome to Remarkable Results Radio. I'm your host, Carm Capriotto, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcasts. Hey, can I count on you to help improve the professionalism of our industry? Well, then recommend this podcast to your peers. Hey, can owners buy freedom? Well, the short answer is no. They have to grow it with their people. Now, are you grooming specific employees in managerial roles? Or do you give them a title and assume that they can go on autopilot? Well, my guest discusses the three different managers you need in your business as it grows. Find out if you have these roles filled or maybe you need to start. Hey, thanks to our partners, Apex and Shopware, for bringing you this episode. You know, Apex 2021, it was a great event, and Apex lived up to presenting leading-edge technology from suppliers, but they also did a great job of showcasing the emerging technology of tomorrow. It was everywhere. You've got plenty of time to plan for 2022. Write it down, November 1st through the 3rd, 2022. Apex, now more than ever. Hey, what do Worldpac, Mitchell 1, Kukui, and QuickBooks have in common? Well, they work with Shopware. Connecting the aftermarket together, Shopware's all-in-one platform maximizes shop efficiency and delivers customer satisfaction without compromise. Get the shop management software trusted across our industry on the web at getshopware.com. Hey, think on this. The best remedy for fear is to gain knowledge. Now let's start. Hey, warm welcome to George Zeeks, the Director of Member Services at ATI. Hey, George.
Hey, Carm. How you doing?
I'm great. We're here at the ASTE annual conference. Actually, there wasn't one last year, and I think we all know that because of the pandemic. I was at Super Conference. It was a wonderful success. By the way, Shopware has sponsored me to be here at this show. They're always a great partner and supporter of the show. George is here because I loved the topic you're presenting. The three managers you need to be successful. And that's the title of his training here at ASTE. And I looked at that and I said, I'm curious. I mean, because I know what it takes to run my business, but I maybe never thought that the people that are doing a great job in my business need to have maybe a title or a position or some special training or a critical focus. And, you know, this is what we do on this show. We bring these cool ideas to the world so that they can listen to them and say, cool idea, let me take that and run with it, right?
Absolutely. Let's start this out in a really easy way. So, Carm, do you like mashed potatoes?
Oh, me and gravy, yes.
Okay, mashed potatoes. French fries?
Sure.
Potato chips?
Them too.
Okay, so you go to the grocery store and you buy a potato. And the potato has no instructions with it, okay? And you want French fries or you want mashed potatoes or you want homemade potato chips. You want what you want, and then you have to learn how to get there. A lot of times, people want a manager that's going to take over everything for them so that they can be an absentee owner, right? And they have one direct report, this manager that's taking care of everything for them, and that's their exit plan so they can lead their life. The problem is understanding how to cook that potato, raise that potato, how to groom it, how to massage it, how to do everything that you need to do to get that perfect potato. Because you know, a great chef could take an average potato and turn it into a meal. Okay, a poor
a
chef
culinary could, delight.
Yes, yes, and a poor chef could take the perfect ingredients and turn it into a mess. So if you kind of take that and you look at automotive. Okay, what kind of managers do we need? What are the traits that we need from them? Okay, and how do we grow and coach and mentor this person to become this person that's going to give me my freedom?
I think the world knows that every time I listen to a guest talk, my mind goes like, bing, bing, like squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. And all I could think about that the potato is a metaphor. Having something in your arsenal that could become other things. And it's almost like the thought that I had was, here I'm the owner and I go to my potato and I say, you become a French fry today. You become mashed tomorrow. Yes. And you could mold this item into other things. And then they take on that shape and the French fry does what it was intended to do and the mashed potato does what it's intended to do.
you take that potato and you cut it into three pieces, and one piece becomes potato chips, and one section becomes French fries, and one section becomes a small part of mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing with this person.
Okay.
Okay. The problem that we run into constantly is we manage and we don't mentor. And this is about coaching and mentoring people,
right.
Okay, and bringing them to that next level. There's a John Mayer song, and in the John Mayer song is, do you love me or do you love the thought of me? And way too often, owners love the thought of this person, and inside their head, they have this image of who this person is or who this person can become, but that's a transition to get them to there. They're not there yet. But they assume that they are, and then sometimes they get disappointed.
You're not talking about, say, a husband and wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, significant other. You're talking about owner and team.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if you worked for me, George, and I had this thought or this dream of who you are and who you should become, and I don't share that with you, then I'm in deep trouble. I've really not done my job.
You have to not only share that with me, but you have to teach me, mentor me.
Right.
And you can't manage me through it. You have to mentor me through it. And here's the problem. If you don't really look at the details and what are the steps that you have to go through, one of the specific tools that you have to provide with them, it's like for weekly one-on-ones that you have that sharing time, okay, where you're not really, you know, managing them, you're mentoring them, and it's a free flow of give and take. That's how you grow them into that person that they could possibly be. The problem that we run into is when owners don't realize their level of responsibility in this, you can't hire this, okay? You just in these days, to find that A player and go out and hire that person and they're plug and play for your model of business, that really doesn't work very often.
I don't even think it's possible. It may not work, but you'd be interviewing for a year and you'd be behind an eight ball if you didn't start grooming and growing your own.
Oh, absolutely. And plus, your model may be completely different from the model that this person has run, their last job or the job before that or the job before that. You have to teach them your model and what your belief system is. So this is about looking at those three different roles, okay, you have a retail manager, you have a sales manager, and you have a production manager. And what do those roles entail? What are the responsibilities? What do you have to do with that? How do I coach and mentor that person through that? Where are they going to have problems? Because they're very different skill sets, okay? What can they delegate but still trust but verify, right? Delegate, but make sure it happens.
And
how to get them through that. And that's a huge, huge thing that owners definitely need to pick up and learn, because if you want your freedom, you can't buy it. You have to grow it. If you want mashed potatoes, you're going to have to find how to make them, or you're going to have to go to a store, but you just can't go to a store and buy this high-level person.
So the potato is the raw element. Is the thing that you have to mold into shape, and that's actually the metaphor for your three managers. And the whole idea of this podcast and your speech is these three managers that you need in your shop that you need to mold and mentor. And what are they? What are the three positions?
Okay, so you have a retail manager.
Okay,
that's a routine type of retail thing. You know, is the coffee maker ready at first thing in the morning? Is the place clean? Is the bathroom clean? Is everything swept up? Is the counter area clean from clutter? Do we look good? Do we smell good? It's about running a retail establishment and looking and smelling good, so we could provide that experience to people when they come in. Did the bank deposit get me?
It's not their only job, but it's a title you're giving someone to worry about the details of the operation.
Right, because the owner for years has done this. The owner has made the bank deposit. The owner has cleaned this and made sure the coffee was done. Then they pass it on to a service writer or they pass it on to a manager. That role is still there, and it still has to be done, because you still have to have this certain experience when people come in. That manager can delegate that downstream, but they still have to understand that role, because they have to make sure, you know, they're still responsible for that role getting done.
Got it.
Okay. And that's probably the easiest part of everything. However, if you don't have really good attention to detail, if you don't learn to delegate, you know, trust but verify, you know, that whole skill set, then that starts to fall through the cracks, because as you get onto the next level, you tend to let that level slide a little bit. You've delegated it down to other people, and then you've got to continually be responsible, just like an owner does. Okay, and that's what you're really kind of grooming, is almost like a miniature partner to take care of this.
When you present this idea to your clients that they need a retail manager, are they hesitant at all?
Once we get into the conversation, because everybody thinks retail, they think 7-Eleven, they think Best Buy, they think, you know, a retail store.
Well, no, I'm not thinking of that. I understand, you know, get over, like you say, the 7-Eleven mentality. But do I need to carve out a responsible area for the look and the feel and the smell of my place? Or shouldn't we all be working on that?
You would think so. The problem is we still have to tell people how to dress sometimes. You know, what is the uniform? What's our standard? What's our brand? What do we expect people to look like, smell like? You know, what do you wear your uniform? Do you shave every day? You know, can you have an earring? You
know, I see. No, I appreciate that detail. Okay.
So, yeah. And those things can't be overlooked, because this is like building a house on sand. If you don't have those SOPs and processes in place to make sure that those things are taken care of, they should be done, like you said, and it should be mindless. It should be just done automatically. But if it's not, and that bottom starts to fall apart, the upper levels will definitely suffer.
Yeah.
And we'll run into issues. That second level, when you talk about sales manager, mm-hmm. Okay, well, they're responsible for sales, but they're also responsible for scheduling. They're responsible for getting people to come back for that next visit. Okay, it's the phone, it's the write up, it's the kiss goodbye, and way too often, and this is I have scroll moments too, so you gotta forgive me.
go down that hole.
Yeah. Well, so one of the things that I'm seeing, because so many different people are working from home, either part time or full time, we're seeing visit frequency drop off. Okay, we were looking at 2.5. Holy Grail was like 3 visits a year. A lot of people were 2.4, 2.5 visits per year per vehicle, not per customer, per household, mm-hmm. Right, per vehicle. And now I'm consistently seeing 1.5, 1.6, 1.7 is actually looking pretty good right now. And it kind of depends what's your customer base, what's your demographics, psychographics, what are they, white collar? Are they blue collar?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people used to love the white collar worker because they thought they had more disposable income, which I never bought into that, but whatever. But the blue collar now, they're driving to work every day.
Yeah, essential workers, yeah.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. So part of this sales manager, when you talk to managers in the section that I'm going to teach tomorrow, I really want to have managers there, and that's why I put it in the description, because this is to help groom them to become professional so they can see what that next level looks like and so they can learn to grow themselves, you know, one way or another. So, for instance, just if you look at the math, you need to know how many labor hours your crew has, okay? How many labor hours could they produce? And then you look at that labor hours, you look at how many labor hours are we averaging per car, okay? And then based on that, I say, okay, I've got 20 labor hours today that I can sell, 2 hours per car. So that means I need to say yes 10 times today. And the problem, and then this is so important, has to be mentored so much with people, is helping them understand that math and understand that expectation. Because how do humans act and how do humans think? Well, if we open at 8, okay, I get there at 7:15. That's what I used to do because I'm just an early guy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm taking care of the drop-offs. I'm looking at the work in progress screen. I'm making sure all my retail stuff is done, right? You know, in case I have to, you know, clean the bathroom, you know, for some reason, something didn't happen. But I also have to look at my schedule, my work in progress, how many hours do I have? And I literally have to say yes 10 times. And I have to look at how many do I have on the schedule. I need to know, as a sales manager, what's my dropout rate going to be? If I have 10 on the schedule, I'm going to have a running history of, you know, 10% not showing up or whatever, okay? But I have to say yes 10 times. But if at 7:15 I start and I'm doing all this stuff and I'm starting to process the drop-offs and then the doors are open and the phones are ringing and estimates are coming in, and most writers and managers out there listening to this, and even owners who have to run this thing, by 12:30, 1 o'clock, you're tired. you've been jamming all morning. And most writers have done probably 75, maybe even 80% of their job by 1 o'clock.
So you're saying they're gonna get 7 or 8 yeses by 11?
And then what happens is I've been busy. I've been crazy busy. I've done 80, 70% of my job. Now it's a matter of just, you know, getting the estimates in, calling the rest of them, making sure the parts come in. But I think in my head, we're crazy busy because I've been crazy busy. I can't say yes anymore. Because the last thing they want to do is get yelled at for saying yes and not getting the car done.
Are you saying that the 20 shouldn't be there because it's a top end limit?
It's an expectation.
Okay.
Right? This is what we could do on an average normal day. Not an easy day, not a hard day, you know, not a hairball day. This is an average. So we need to know, you know, how many cars we have to say yes to every day statistically. Over the course of the
week, on an average, average. Well, we did 15 yesterday. It doesn't mean that you can do 5 today. Right. Or it, yeah, I get it.
And so let's take this a little bit further. By 1 o'clock, I think we're crazy busy because I'm tired. I've done all this work, so I start slowing the flow down. Okay, and that's how you end up with techs at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, standing around with their hands in their pockets, going, where's the cars? Because this feeling, the psychological feeling of, we are so busy. When you're not that busy, you've only said yes 7 times. But you said yes 7 times in the course of like 4 hours, right? And you're building all these estimates and selling.
It feels like you're overwhelmed.
It feels like you're overwhelmed. So then you slow down. And that's the difference between managing the flow, saying yes, bringing the right number in, living up to expectations with customers because you understand the math behind how many times you have to say yes and what people could do. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. Let's say that we sold 25 hours, okay? And we've got 9 cars in. You still have to say yes to the 10th car. You have to make arrangements. You may not be able to get everything done today. You have to call somebody, put them in a loaner, do something, make arrangements, because tomorrow, we know that statistically our average is X number of cars. We don't know if we're going to get 10 cars tomorrow.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, George explains what Donkey Day is and why it needs to be avoided in the workplace. Carm here. Well, I can't say enough about the quality of instructors and the high level of technical and management training that was offered inside Repair Shop HQ during Apex 2021. Hey, it's in the record books, but the great news is that show organizers for Apex 2022 are hard at work again, assembling the best and the brightest instructors and the most timely and needed training for shop owners and technicians. And now watch for a robust schedule of training and product demos on topics such as engine performance diagnostic strategies, how to be an effective leader, wheel alignment and ADAS calibrations, controller area networks, and using social media to grow your business, just to name a few. With this caliber of training, make sure Apex 2022 is on your calendar. Now that's November 1st through the 3rd in Las Vegas. And together, let's make 2022 the year of growing sales, profits, and productivity for your business. Listen here for more Apex 2022 training and registration information. I want to let you in on a little secret. Investing in a cloud-based shop management system could be the smartest purchase you make in 2021. Manual processes can really add up and cost your shop unnecessary time and money. Now, if you're writing out repair orders, you're wasting time. If you're chasing customers for approvals, you're wasting time. If you're manually calculating invoices or logging into multiple systems, you're wasting time. And if you're wasting time, well, then you're wasting money. Do me a favor, pull up Chrome, Safari, or whatever browser you use and type in getshopware.com. Click on the Book a Demo button in the upper right corner and check out Shopware's amazingly efficient software. Trust me, you won't regret it. Again, that's getshopware.com. Are you finding from your clients, they're busy, they're mm-hmm. booked out, and they're really telling the customer, look, you've been so used to, you know, in at 8 and out at 5, but parts are getting tougher to get. We're a busy shop. That's why you come here. You trust us. We have a great relationship. It may not be until tomorrow. Do you see people purposely pushing it off to take the pressure out of the supply side, to be able to schedule a little less stress inside the shop by car in today and car out tomorrow? I mean, you can't get a refrigerator fixed in a day.
Especially with the parts issues that we're seeing, yeah. Right? Especially with the very, very unique situation that we're in. You know, we told people that this summer should have been the best summer you've ever had. Ever, ever, ever. Okay? We had pent-up demand. If you look at the TSA counts on how many people they're processing through the airport, it's 600,000 to 800,000 short a day from 2019. People want to go places. They want to do things. They're going to drive. Car prices, because they can't get the computer chips, the chips won't come in until April or May of next year. The dealers have acres of cars waiting for computers, already built, waiting for computers to go in. Car prices are stupid. You know, used cars prices are stupid.
That's one of the best comments I've ever heard in a while.
So what people are doing right now is they're saying, I'm going to buy another year. All summer, It was, I'm going to drive the car because I want to drive the car. I feel more comfortable. I have to go on vacation because I'm sick of being cooped up. I'm going to get the car fixed because maybe it's been sitting, maybe it hasn't.
Yeah.
We've had the best summer we've ever had. Right. If you had the production capability, if you were smart.
If you were running a really smart business. I always say this, if your foundation before the pandemic was great, you were doing all the stuff right. You've been listening to your coach. You've been listening to your network and your peers. Then the fire that everyone's feeling is going to happen to you. And if you weren't, you're saying, where's my business? Because you didn't market yourself. You didn't train your people. You can see George's face. He just put his hand in his face. Did I hit a chord?
Okay. Well, yeah. During COVID, when it first hit, as soon as they announced, you know, the PPP money, I was like, upgrade. Because so many shops have, it's kind of like that old cartoon when you were a kid, the land of misfit toys.
Oh my, yeah.
Okay, so they have a shop full of misfit toys that are good enough. Okay, remember, you know, do you love me or the thought of me? Well, I love the thought of you, but that's not who you are, so you're a misfit toy. And we were saying hire. When the PPP money came out, go hire, go upgrade. You know, what is it that you need? Because those people are available. And the people who did that went absolutely berserk this year. Yeah. They had a great, great year. And everything went really, really well. So this is about preparing your manager, right, to run your shop by the math and understand, one, how do people think and what happens, and what's the math behind this? So if I sell 23 hours, 22 hours, something's not going to get done today because that's not, you know, maybe it will because it's really easy, but it's going to go over. So to answer your question, yes, we have to be prepared. One, just because that's the way to run a shop, but two, because of parts, you have to prep them at the write-up that there's a parts issue.
I think we're all willing, every one of us. You want to build a home or an addition, doesn't matter. You want to get your house painted. People are waiting months to get in to get in line to get work done from the skilled trades.
Yes, absolutely.
Months. And they're paying 30 or 40% higher than they ever expected to pay. I'm experiencing that myself with a little mini bathroom remodel and how many months it took to schedule the person to come in and do what I think is a small little job and how much it will cost to do this small little job. I had one of those really tough V8 moments, George.
When it comes to bathroom remodel and contractors, I don't think there is a small mini job.
That was reassuring.
It's always a huge deal. It's always a nightmare.
My point was, we're all willing to wait because the pandemic has changed our life and our world. Access to parts, talent, people. How many of us are all working shorthanded? And how could we continue that business model of in at 8 and out at 5 if we don't, you know, take some air out of that balloon? And so it was a big discussion on the podcast here, maybe the last couple of months. So every time I get a guy like you in here, I ask that question to just continue to excite the industry that says, I think you've got more customers willing to wait till tomorrow to get their vehicle than you actually expect.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, you know, how do people work? So you contacted me and we talked and we said, you know, what are we going to talk about? And you tried to lay the groundwork as much as possible so that you could be prepared. because I get the feeling that you don't like chaos. But in an automotive shop, the money is made right at the edge of chaos. And you have to understand the mathematics behind where is the line before chaos, and if you go over the edge and your ship sails off the edge of the earth, like in the 1600s, oh, the earth ends, oh, that's where we go. There is a line, and it's a mathematical line, and you have to understand that the maximum production is right at the edge of chaos. You know, it's controlled chaos. And this isn't about a shop owner making money. This is about technicians making money. This is about their children, your managers, your writers, their children having good birthdays, good vacations, good holidays. You owe it to them. Mm-hmm. They're betting on you. So you need to become the best owner, and your manager has to become the best manager that they possibly can. And they have to understand this whole idea of running to the edge of chaos.
That is a great quote. I love it. Max production is at the edge of chaos. I imagine that the entire team has to be chess masters.
Yes.
At pulling what happens when and the strategy move. And I know this customer, great customer, works from home, has been there for over a year, chatting with them. They see no end in sight of possibly when they're going to have to be called back. And they may do with this hybrid model that everybody's talking about. So meaning they may go into work 2 days a week, home three. That person can wait.
Yes.
The knowledge of the customer, the knowledge of their situation allows you to take those chess pieces, maybe minimize chaos inside the building.
But that understanding of who do I have and who am I working with is absolutely critical. And most people don't see that, Carm. They don't realize that that's part of this game.
Because they're not paying attention to it. They have not put it as one of the intuitive things they have to constantly look for.
And that's why conferences like this and being able to talk to people who go to classes and pick up these extra things and these concepts. And sometimes you have to hear them two and three and four times before it really sinks into your bones, because if it's an alien concept and you don't like chaos and you don't like confrontation, which 62% of the population will do anything to avoid confrontation, if you don't like confrontation, you're going to play it safe and you're going to be more likely to say no at 1 o'clock and slow things down. And you'll never reach chaos. You'll never even come close to chaos. What you'll actually have is entropy. Whatever, I can't even say the word this morning, too much coffee. And you reach that point where, okay, well, we just ground to a halt. You know, everyone's sitting there at 4 o'clock, and if you lose an hour of production times five guys, and if you did that 3 days out of the week, that's a considerable amount of money, not just to the owner, but to every single family that's employed by that shop.
And a comment I need to make is George showed me the notes for his class here today, and there's a lot of charts and math in it. So he didn't come to this training seminar with theory. He came with, hey, listen, you got to pay attention to the numbers too. Okay.
Okay. So the third manager, and this is truly the hardest manager to groom and coach and mentor. This is someone that you have to work with, and the owner has to understand the math. And you know, there's a lot of great coaching companies out there. Okay, I happen to think the ATI is the best, but you know, of course, I may be biased. Yes, absolutely. But we teach owners all these different things and all the math and all the stuff. But if you don't spread that downstream, if you don't coach and mentor downhill, and this goes all the way down so the techs understand this chaos theory and how and where we're doing, where are we going?
Yeah.
You may hate me today, but you'll love me on payday, okay? You know, one of those things. Okay, fine. You're going to have to give up looking at Facebook, you know, 20 times a day. You may only have to do it 5 times a day, but hey, you'll love me on payday, and so will your wife, and so will your kids. So the production manager, and again, labor inventory is just a small piece of it, but the production manager has to understand, okay, what can Carm do? What can Bob do? What can Jimmy do?
Okay? Capacities.
Capacities, okay? And then looking and becoming a chess master, okay? And this is about, okay, Carm, this may not be the best job for you. This job's going to slow you down. And we've done this in automotive for years.
You're talking triage, really, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But we've done it in automotive for years because we know that, you know, Bob's great at struts, but he hates timing belts. And Steve loves timing belts, but he hates shocks and struts. So we assign out to the tech who we should. Some people still don't, but what you should, you give them what they love to do and what they're really good at, and then the whole shop benefits, not just them. Well, this is taking that one step further and looking at what are the hours that they have produced, what could they produce per day, what could they produce per week, tracking that as a production manager and looking at those numbers and taking care of people. And again, I keep talking about the psychology of how people think, right, and how they behave. I'm going to say something, and owners out there are instantly going to get this, and managers, and even techs. So let's say it's Wednesday. If you're tracking as a production manager, you're tracking how many hours Carb has, how many hours you've produced, how many hours you're capable of producing, and I look at it Tuesday night, I look at it Wednesday morning, because there's prep time. You have to think here. You have to prepare to run this business. And I look at this, and I know how much Carm wants to make as a paycheck and how many hours he needs to turn, and Carm's behind, okay? Carm can do 8 hours every day. He's 5 for 8 on Monday. He's 6 for 8 on Tuesday. Maybe it's break jobs that didn't get sold. Maybe it's jobs that got partially sold, you know, whatever it is, okay? So one of the things I have to say to Carm first thing in the morning is I got to have to approach Carm with this ticket. Maybe it's a, you know, the brake, it's a dropped off overnight, the brakes are grinding, and I have to go to you and I have to say, Carm, I took a look at the numbers. You're like 13 for 16, so we're a little bit behind. I know where you're at. I want to make sure that we get this caught up. I want to give you this ticket, okay? It's grinding brakes. Do me a favor, check it out. Bring it back to me. And let me jump on it right away. Let's get you caught up, okay? So many shops catch up on Thursday and Friday. But they won't catch up on Thursday and Friday if you have a donkey day, okay? So what's Wednesday? What do people usually call Wednesday?
Hump day.
Yeah, I call it donkey day. You know, Wednesday's donkey day. And 1 o'clock on Wednesday is donkey hour. If I have a technician who looks at his hours turned at noon, or even first thing Wednesday morning, go, okay, this week's shot, I'm not going to turn my numbers. I'm not going to get there. I might as well give up. If that happens, then you're not going to make the week up on Thursday and Friday. They're just kind of got to coast down. So you owe it to them, and you owe it to yourself, and you owe it to everyone else in this building to make sure that you understand where they're at, what they're capable of, what do they need to do, and you go see them before they donkey down. You ever see in the movie Patton, they have a donkey that's crossing this bridge and it sits down on its haunches and it won't move. And Patton just, you know, they're like trying to get the donkey to move, and Patton shoots the donkey. Well, we can't shoot the donkey. We shouldn't shoot the donkey. We just need to motivate the donkey.
You as the production manager takes a look at the schedule for the next couple of days, sees where potentially Carm can pull some hours to make up those 5 that he may be short, and have that discussion with him.
They'll walk through fire for you as a manager or as an owner if they know that you care about them. And you have to demonstrate that care. And you have to go to them and say, hey, I see you're behind. This is a good ticket. Check it out. Bring it right back to me. Let's work together to make sure that we get your hours up. And I want everyone to be able to max out their maximal labor inventory. I want them to reach that max. And then then you have to also train to try to raise that max later on. But that's a different conversation.
You're talking about open communications, transparency. You're talking about knowing the numbers. You're talking about knowing capacity. An important job in the company.
And that's the production manager. Way too often when you talk to someone, the sales manager knows how much he sold. What do you get paid off of? As a manager, as a writer, what do you get paid off of? And then the first thing people say is sales. No, you don't. You don't get paid off of sales. Okay? If you sell $10,000 worth of work at 2 o'clock on Friday, it ain't going to get done. If you're not open Saturday and Sunday, it's not going to get done by 5. Okay, so you can sell all the work in the world. You don't get paid off of sales. You get paid off of what you get done. It's a chicken and the egg thing. You got to sell it to produce.
Yeah, you're right. Just because it's in the top of the hopper doesn't mean it's going to come out the funnel in time.
Right. So you need to be able to sell And the sales manager has to know exactly where he's at with sales and what's going on and what's on the schedule and building that second visit and selling to the second visit at the exit. But the production manager has to maximize the production and has to understand the technicians. And what does Carm want? What does Bob want? What does Steve want? What are their goals? What are their strengths and their weaknesses? How can I help coach and mentor them? What classes do they need to go to, like this ASCE, right? And how do I help grow them so they become better and they have a better life?
So production manager, shop manager, the same thing, shop foreman, is it the same title?
So here's the thing. There are shops that are large enough to run a shop manager, but your average 6 or 8 bay shop, 4 or 5 technicians, maybe 1 or 2 writers, a manager, a writer and a manager, that manager has to become all 3 roles in most cases. Because most shops run so lean.
Yeah.
Okay. And here's the thing. So we could hire all these extra people, but what it means is everybody makes less money. Okay, let's hire better people and fewer people and coach and mentor them so they can make more money and they can provide for their families. And if you do that and you have those golden handcuffs then you keep them. And that's a crucial thing because you can't hire them right now.
Teach and train them and mentoring and managing them. Too many guys hire somebody, look at the resume and say, oh, this is going to be great for my business, and they set it and forget it.
When we sat down here at this table, you said, here's the microphone. Here's what the microphone does. This is why we have the microphone here. Here's the headset. I know we're sitting 6 feet apart, and I know you can hear me, but this is why we have that. You went through and explained every single little detail, and you mentored me on why this needed to be done.
Do you think my audience knows how hard I work at quality, audio quality?
But that's the key, the quality, and taking that time to not just say, okay, leave the microphone there.
Yeah.
You explain why the microphone has to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what we have to do with our people.
Yeah.
We have to explain those small details and educate them and train them. You know, and I throw mentor around all the time. That's that role. It used to be, remember the old days, like in the Middle Ages, if you wanted to be a blacksmith, you had to be an apprentice with the blacksmith for years.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the world's moved on and it moves so much faster. It's not just training, it's training and mentoring. Okay. And it's how that you go through it. And not just this is what you do, but this is also why you do it.
Yeah.
And that makes all the difference.
This was great. I'm sure anyone who here at ASTE this weekend is going to go to your class is probably going to be really charged up about this. Great concepts, good ideas. Retail manager, sales manager, production manager. Any last words?
If you want your freedom, stop wishing and hoping. Okay? You know, because it's there and you can grow them. And one last thing, I never worked with an owner in a building, ever.
Really?
In my entire career. You know, in 18 years, I ran 15 shops. Okay, I became, you know, and I've done independents and I've done, you know, big box stores and I got a name as a troubleshooter, so I bounced around like, you know, 3 months here, 6 months there, that kind of thing. But even with independent shops, I never worked with the owner in a building. And most owners don't realize that that's a norm, you know, but in the independent.
Well, wait a minute, wouldn't an owner says, don't teach me how to do anything different, go work with my people and then tell me what you did, and then they never follow through on that? Isn't that a problem? We delegate and we don't own it?
I don't coach that much anymore because they've got me doing a lot of different things.
Sure.
But if I run into that and I'm talking to an owner who says, I don't need you to talk to me, I need you to talk to my manager.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so, you know, when are you going to close up? Because what I see you doing is spending Saturdays, you know, where you leave your double wide trailer and you go to the bar and you're sitting in the bar in the afternoon drinking, going, you know, I used to own an auto repair shop. It's a tough business.
You're painting a picture.
Yeah, man. You can't down. You have to learn it. You have to share that with them.
Yeah.
That's a key responsibility as an owner. And plus, it's a bonding thing. You want a future, you're betting the rest of your future and you, this baby that's your business, on this person, then you better groom and mentor them so that you understand.
Got it. Well, this was great. Thank you so much for finding the time in your schedule to come here. Director of Member Services at ATI, George Zeeks. Thanks, man.
Carm, thanks so much for having me. I really had a great time.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.